Have you ever been in a situation where you didn't have just a lot of confidence? I think probably we all have at some time. I'm thinking back to that time when I was a little boy. It's back when the crust of the earth was cooling. My first year in Little League Baseball. And back in that day, we didn't have T-ball, and we didn't have daddies pitching to the first-year baseball players. No, we had 8-year-old pitchers throwing hard balls as hard as they could at 8-year-old batters. To put it in the best light, it was exciting. To put it in realistic terms, it was terrifying. And that's why every batter had to wear these massive helmets. You know, you look like Darth Vader walking up there at home plate. And they were always too big. And so whenever you would swing, the helmet would just slide right over your face, you know. And it didn't take but one or two zingers right at your ear hole to make you think twice about stepping into the batter's box. I mean, I knew I could hit the ball. I didn't know if he could throw the ball where it was supposed to have been thrown. So it was an interesting experience. I remember the first sermon I ever preached. Okay, it wasn't a sermon, it was a 3-minute talk. And it wasn't in an auditorium, it was in a classroom full of other junior high boys. And it was a Wednesday night class, the training class, right? But it was still terrifying. And the key was practice and preparation. You know, that kind of took the edge off the lack of confidence. And I remember trying to become a CPA. You know, you got to pass that test. And back in that day, there were 4 parts to the test you had to pass. And confession is good for the soul, right? Took me more than once. But I remember one year I decided I'm going to sit for the exam, but I knew I'd really not prepared. But, you know, maybe get lucky, right? I didn't have a lot of confidence going in to sit for that exam. Sure enough, I didn't pass anything. And then the year when I finally got it behind me, I remember I studied so hard trying to get past that thing. And I really was only focusing on one of the parts. I had 2 parts left, and I was only focusing on one of the parts. And I went into that testing site. Man, I was ready. Give me the test. I'm ready. And I got the letter in the mail, and sure enough, I had passed that part, but I'd also passed the second part. Yeah. But they tell you, you know, CPA can't pass again. And that's true. But confidence. I mean, it's just an amazing feeling to walk into that situation confident, knowing you got this, isn't it? It's great to have confidence. And that's why John is writing this little letter. He's writing to Christians, and he wants them to have assurance. That's what we've been saying the last several weeks. He's writing to give assurance. Well, what's another word for that, isn't it? Confidence. Don't we want to have confidence in our relationship with our Heavenly Father? Of course we do. And John tells us that we can. That's the wrong file. So just turn that off. He says there in chapter 4, verse 17, he says, "By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment." Confidence for the day of judgment. I mean, could there be any more significant day than that? The day of judgment. I mean, that's a day everybody's going to experience, whether they want to or not. We're all going to go through that day. And we need to take that day very seriously. Now, there are a lot of things that people get excited about, aren't they? People get really worked up about some things. Wish I had the picture. I had a guy really worked up. But we really get worked up about things. Things like climate change. I mean, there's some people out there, yeah, that's a button for them. Abortion. Socialism. A Democrat in the White House. A Republican in the White House. I'm ready to get an American in the White House. But people get really worked up about things, but those things are temporary. What if the world got really worked up about the day of judgment? What if we got excited about that day? Because we're all going to face that day. And we know how the Bible describes that day, right? For some, it's going to be a terrible day. Jesus said, it will be most people. He says, many will choose the wide gate. Many will choose that path that leads to destruction, he says. And that's how the Bible describes that day. It's going to be a day of eternal destruction. It describes it as a day of outer darkness. It describes it as a day of weeping. It describes it as a day of gnashing of teeth. A fiery furnace, eternal punishment. Eternal fire. Jesus said, most people, that for most people, that's going to be that day. Terrible day. But then in that same place, Jesus says, there will be a few. And when he says few, you know, we may be tempted to think not many, but there's going to be millions. Billions of souls in heaven. Think back to all the generations of God's people. Still, there will be a few. There'll be the few who will have chosen the narrow gate, the path that Jesus says leads to life, a path that leads to heaven, a path that leads to a place where there's no more discouragement, no more tears, no more sickness, no more sorrow of any kind. And all of that is going to happen on that day. And John tells us we can have confidence for the day. Confidence for the day of judgment. He says, because as he is, so also are we in this world. It's kind of an odd expression, odd sentence. As he is, so also are we in this world. Who's the he there? Well, he's talking about God. As God is. Now, you have to back up a couple of verses there to get that connection. That's who he's talking about. As God is, so also are we in this world. We talked last week about how God dwells within the Christian. It's where God lives. God abides in us, we abide in him. Remember, we went there to John 15 where Jesus talks about being the vine. He is the vine. We are the branches. We abide in Him. He is in us. He's nurturing, strengthening, comforting, all of that. It's where God lives. And He lives there because He loves us. And because He loves us, we love Him. So God abides in the Christian, and the Christian abides in God. God's love abides within us because He abides within us. And so His love pours out from us. His love motivates us. His love strengthens us. His love comforts us. His love removes all fear from us. Therefore, His love gives us confidence. Confidence for the day. Confidence in our relationship with Him. That's the direction John is going with all of this. John writes there in verse 18. He says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because He first loved us." We love because He first loved us. That is perfected love. Now, we might worry when we run across that word perfected, because we understand what perfect means, don't we? It means flawless, absolutely, totally, completely, without blemish of any kind. It's perfect. And if anyone knows us the way we know ourselves, they are going to know that we are far from perfect. We are far from being flawless. And so that might cause us to be concerned. That might cause us to not be confident, because we feel like, you know, we're not perfect. That's not the way John is using this word. He's not talking about being flawless, because that word in the original language also has other meanings. It also carries the idea of being finished or completed or accomplished. And so we love because He first loved us. So because we love, because His love is within us, His love is pouring out from us, His love has been perfected in us. It's finished its work. It has accomplished the thing it was meant to accomplish, to turn us into a loving person. His love then becomes perfected in us. As He is, so also are we in this world. It has so filled our hearts, our lives, that we cannot help but letting that go through us to others. His love is perfected in us. It's had an impact. It's had an influence on who we are. It's changed our nature, our character. Transformation, right? It has accomplished what it was supposed to accomplish. And so that's why John goes on to give us this illustration there towards the end of this section. He says, if anyone says, "I love God," and hates his brother, well, that person is just not telling you the truth. Because he says, how can you say that you love God and you've not even seen God? And yet here's this person, here's this brother or sister who's in need of your love, your help, your comfort, your encouragement, and you withhold that? God's love is not perfected in you. It hasn't had the effect that it's supposed to have. You've rejected the love of God. You've not allowed it to be within you. You've not allowed Him to be within you. How can you love God whom you've not seen when you do not love your brother, your sister, who's right there in front of you? And so John here is reminding us of all these opportunities that we have every day, right? We have all these opportunities in front of us. We see people, we see people in different situations, and sometimes life is good for those folks, but sometimes it's not. Sometimes people are really hurting. And what do we do in those situations? Is God's love perfected in us so that we're letting Him use us as a channel of His love and comfort and encouragement that He wants those people to experience? If that's who we are, and we're not talking flawless perfection. But if our life is characterized by, if our life consistently is that life which is available for the comfort and love and encouragement of other people, that shows that God's love is within us. His love is perfected within us, which means we can have confidence. Confidence for the day. Even for the day of judgment. We can go into that day and we will rejoice as we willingly bow the knee and with the tongue confess Jesus is Lord. Because that will be a great day. That will be that day when we leave the cares and challenges and struggles and pain of this world behind, and we go on to that new heaven and new earth in that new body, to a life of eternal bliss. How's your confidence this morning? It's important to know that God wants you to be confident. He understands the difference between confidence and cocky. He's not wanting an arrogant people, but He wants you to be assured in your relationship with Him because of what He has done. How's your confidence this morning? Are you letting God to dwell within you? Are you letting Him perfect His love within you? If we can be a help to anyone here this morning, if we can encourage you to become a child of God, to begin that walk as a Christian, then we'd love to see you confess your faith that Jesus is the Christ. We'd love to see you baptized into His death. And we'd love to see God raise you up a new creature, washed pure of your sins, that He might take up residence within your life and then begin this perfecting of love within you. Or if we could pray with you in some way to encourage you and to support you,
let us lift you up in prayer this morning. Please let us know. Come right now while we stand and while we sing.